heavier weight. And a lot of times, you know, I go on Facebook, I go on Instagram, I watch the news, and it's just negative, negative, negative. But when you have someone like a Pastor Marty, like a Ryan, like a Pastor Ryan, like people here, you're blessed because there's words they're speaking to you. They're just, it's not fluff. It's life-giving. It's life-giving. And I want to encourage you, don't take it for advantage. Don't take advantage of it. Don't take it for granted. Man, they're blessed. Whenever I meet with them, I am blessed to talk with them. And I just want to encourage you, you are blessed. You better thank them and be happy that you have pastors who speak life. A pastor is like a father figure who has heavy words that can speak life and encouragement to you. And I'm just thankful that I get to spend time with them and I get to be here to hear their words and encourage me. And I love coming just because just a few minutes with them, man, really encourages me. So thank you guys for having me. Thank you so much. I love being here. I got a message today. It's called Don't Stop Short. Don't stop short. I'm going to explain what that means, but just don't stop short. Don't stop short. One verse, really, I could base this whole message off. It's Hebrews 10:36. It says this, you need to persevere. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Let me tell you my problem with this scripture verse here. I got a problem with the scripture verse. Because the scripture verse, it likes to tell me what I need to do, and it doesn't tell me what I want to do. I got a problem with that because let me tell you what I want to do. I want to quit when life gets hard. What I want to do after eating healthy and working out for a week and I still haven't lost any weight, I'll tell you what I want to do. What I want to do is skip my workout and eat a large cheese and pepperoni pizza and some chicken wings. That's what I want to do. What I want to do when someone talks trash about me, I want to go confront them and I want to let them know what's up. What I want to do is complain and gripe every time something doesn't go my way. But the problem I have is with this scripture verse because it's not telling me what I want to do. It says what you need to do. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It's not telling you it may always be fun. But what do you need to do? You need to persevere. You need to persevere. Why do you need to persevere? Because then you will receive what he has promised. We need to persevere so we can receive what he has promised. Do you know that you could be promised something and never possess it? You could be promised something and actually never have it in your life. It's like being in somebody's will. You could be promised their stuff, but it ain't yours. Not until the right time. And a lot of times we can't figure out why God has promises, but they're not happening. Because you need to persevere so you could possess what God has promised you. God can give you a promise you never possess if you stop short. God can give you a promise you never possess if you don't persevere. In fact, here's something I want you to remember. Without perseverance, you might not receive the promise God has given you. You need to persevere. I know you don't want to persevere, but that's not what the scripture is telling you. It's not telling you your wants. What do you need to do? You need to persevere. Why? Because without perseverance, you might not receive the promise God has given you. You might say, listen, God told me I'd have a man by now. God told me I'd have a godly man by now. God told me I'd have a man. He wouldn't draw me away from God. But all the guys I find draw me away from God. And what happened? You stopped persevering. All of a sudden, you couldn't find a man soon enough. You started dressing differently. You started walking differently. You started talking differently. You couldn't find a man at church quick enough. off, and you started looking for a man at the wrong place. God told me, listen, I'd have a better job by now. I'd be a better place by now. And what happened? The last time you got passed over for an interview, the last time you didn't get the interview, the last time you got passed over for a promotion, you stopped working hard, you stopped giving it your all, and you stopped persevering. You said, God said, I would be financially prosperous. And you're still broke. Well, what happened? You're still spending money you don't have. You try tithing for a few months, nothing changed, and you quit. Why? Because it's not what we want to do. It's what we need to do. And there's promises for us, but we need to persevere. I'm not telling you what you want to do. It's just not the way it is. Sometimes what we need to do is to persevere. You need to keep praying for your family. I don't care how bad it's got. I don't care how long it's been. You need to keep praying. You need to keep coming to church. You need to keep reading your Bible. You need to keep worshiping. You need to keep getting on your knees. You need to keep believing what God said. It may not look good now, but that's not what we want to do. We want it to happen today. I wanted it to happen 3 years ago. I want it to be easy, but the Bible says, no. What you need to do, you need to persevere so that you will do the will of God. Then you will receive. Then, after perseverance, you receive the promises that God has given you. That's just the opening of my message. Joshua chapter 6, we're going to read to illustrate this. Joshua chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Israelites, slaves in Egypt, got set free, traveled the desert for 40 years. Finally, they're going to possess the promised land. Finally, they're going to where God's promises after 40 years traveling in the wilderness. They get up to the first city, the first place they got to conquer, and this is what happens. Now, the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have seven priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the seventh day, march around the city seven times with the priests blowing the trumpets. And when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." See, there had been a promise God made to his people. There was a promise God made to Abraham. A promise God made hundreds of years earlier. And then hundreds of years later, they become slaves in Egypt. For 430 years, they're slaves. Yet there was a promise God made. Then they get set free in 40 years wandering in the desert. Yet there was a promise God made. And they had a promise. They didn't possess it. And here they're on the verge of finally possessing, receiving the promise God had for them. And could you imagine if they stopped marching around the wall on day 6? Could you imagine if on day 7, lap 6, because the 7th lap on the 7th day, on day 7, lap 6, they stopped short? You could have named this message, "Don't Stop on 6. Wake up the person next to you, say, "Don't stop on 6. Don't stop short. You need to persevere. Don't stop short. Don't stop short." Let me share with you three reasons people stop short. Three reasons people stop short. Three reasons. If you're not taking notes, it's a good time to start taking notes. Number one is this: our perspective gets blocked. Our perspective gets blocked. You have to understand something here, that Jericho was the first city they had to take in order to receive God's promises. And it was their first battle. And what's interesting about the city of Jericho is it wasn't that big of a city. They say you could have probably walked around the city in about an hour. It wasn't the size of the city. It wasn't too big for them. The problem with it was the walls were so high, they couldn't see in. The walls were blocking their perspective. And some of you may wonder, well, I don't have what God has given me. I don't have his promises. It's not more than you can handle. It's not too big for you. You may just have a blocked perspective. You may just can't see it from God's point of view yet, and it's looking pretty bad for you. But from God's point of view, everything's going along as planned. You just need to persevere. And that's why going to church is good for you. That's why being here is good for you. Is because it raises our perspective. It changes how we look at things. That's why you got to read your Bible. That's why you got to listen to worship music. That's why some days I just got to turn off the talk radio and get sick of hearing about the Buffalo Bills. And I got to hear about what God has done for me. Because some days I just need my perspective changed because I get sick of looking at walls all day. We walk around all week. It's tough coming to church because our perspectives get blocked. It's tough going to church. That's why you need to be at church. All day long, we're looking at walls. We're looking at deficits. We're looking at problems. We're looking at setbacks. We're looking at failures. We're looking at negativity on the news. We're looking at everyone's life is better than my life on Facebook. And we're looking at walls after walls after walls. And our perspective gets blocked. That's why we need to be at church. That's why it's so hard to come to church. You follow me? We need to be at church. But the reason we can't come to church is because our perspectives are so blocked, we think we can't get there. The devil doesn't want you coming to church. He doesn't want you being encouraged. He doesn't want your perspective changed because then you're going to start to see things the way God sees things. He wants you stuck seeing the negativity. But that's why it's a battle to come to church. That's why it's difficult to come to church. That's why you don't feel like coming to church. That's why you're always a little more tired on a Sunday morning. That's why something always happens Sunday morning. That's why something always happens Saturday night. Why? Because Adela, he don't want you here. He doesn't want your perspective lifted. He doesn't want you to change what you see. But when our perspective gets blocked, we tend to stop short. It's a battle to get here. I have a 2-year-old son. His name's Jonathan Jr. I call him JJ. Me and him, man, we are like best buds. I love this kid, man. Everything I do, this kid does. Everything. I drink it, he has to drink it. I eat it, he would rather. If I can't get him to eat food, I'd say, hey, that's daddy's food, and he eats it. Anything I do, he does. And we hang out, we do everything together when I'm home. But sometimes I gotta work. I gotta make a meal, gotta cook, brew some coffee. And he doesn't like it when I put him down and I don't play with him. And so he starts complaining. He starts crying. He pulls on my pants, says, Dada, please, Dada, please, Dada, please, Dada. And I realized what happened was he's only like this big. He can't see up on top of the counter what I'm cooking. His perspective is like, what's going on? I'm not with my Dada. I'm not here. So what do? I pull up a chair, and I pick him up, and I raise him up so he could see above. So he's a part of what I'm doing. And when I change his perspective, he goes from a crying, whining baby to the happiest, most delightful kid you'll ever meet. Why? Because his perspective changed. And that's why you need to worship. That's why you need to thank God. That's why you need to ask God to give you a better perspective. That's what happens when you come to church, because you change your perspective. We got to see over our failures. We got to see over our shortcomings. We got to see over what you can't do. So what? You can't do it. God can do it. Stop looking at it from your point of view and look at it from God's perspective. Man, you know what? You know what bothers me? We get together for a lot of reasons. We get together to eat food. We get together to play video games. I get together to do fantasy football drafts. We get together to get bubble tea, to complain about people, to talk gossip about people. Man, why aren't we getting together to say, I'm struggling with something. You need to pray with me. I'm struggling with something. Can you worship with me? I'm struggling with something. Can you just encourage me? Because my perspective's getting blocked. And if your perspective is blocked long enough, eventually you're going to stop short. First two verses I read said this: now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. And then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered you. I have delivered Jericho into your hands. Those verses, they don't make sense. Verse 1 doesn't look like verse 2. Verse 1 says, Jericho is securely barred. Verse 1 says, listen, this place is so tightly shut, no one's getting in. And then verse 2 says, God says, see, I've given it to you. You've already got it. It's there for the taking. It's like, see what, God? See, we're in trouble. See, we came all this way for nothing. See, we can't get in. The walls are too high. They ain't going nowhere. We're done for. We're in trouble. We're in the middle of the desert, and it's securely barred. And God says, what? No, see, God had a different perspective. I've already given them to you. Has that ever happened to you in life? God says, see, you got everything you need. And you say, see what? God said I'd have a great job, but I'm still working at the same place I hate. God said I'd get into college, but I keep getting rejected. God said I'd make your home life better, but you still hate going home every night. God said you'd be married by now, but you don't even got a prospect. Even if you lowered your standards, there's no one around. You're like, God, it feels, God said this, and it always feels like you can't. But that's why God has given you a church. That's why God's given you a pastor. That's why God's given you a Bible. That's why God's given you worship. That's why God's given you prayer. Because it picks you up like I pick my son up. And it raises you up to a different level. So your perspective stops getting blocked by all these unnecessary things. And you can start to see what God sees. Don't stop short. Don't stop on six. You need to persevere. Without perseverance, you might not receive the promise God has given you. The second reason people stop short is this. Our progress isn't always obvious. Our progress isn't always obvious. Sometimes our perspective gets blocked, but other times our progress isn't always obvious. And when you can't see your progress, you get discouraged. Let me read you a few verses from this story. Hang with me here when we read them. Starting in verse 6, it says this. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have seven priests carry trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the army, advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. When Joshua had spoken to the people, the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guards marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the Ark. All this time, the trumpets were sounding. In verse 10, it says this, but Joshua had commanded the army, do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. In fact, he said, don't even say a word until I tell you to shout. Then you shout. So he had the Ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp. One time they walked around doing nothing, and they spent the night there. Verse 14 says, they did this for 6 days. Talk about not seeing any progress. Now, I wonder if I was one of those soldiers. Could you imagine this happening today with cell phones? I just think about, man, if I was there with my cell phone, you know, call my wife after the first day. Hey, honey, how's it going? She goes, it's going good. How are the kids? They're good. She goes, how's it going out there? Well, you know, the first day, we didn't really do much. We just kind of walked around. We were just kind of getting the lay of the land, you know, just kind of stretching out, making sure we're loose for battle. We just walked around the city one time, no big deal. Call her on day two. Hey, honey, how's it going? Well, we didn't really do much today either. I don't know what's going on. In fact, I was going to say something to Joshua. I was going to tell him, like, this is crazy, dude. Let's kill these people. But he said, we can't even talk. He won't let us talk. Maybe that's why Joshua said, don't say a word. Maybe that's why Joshua, because the last time they opened their big negative mouths, they scared the whole nation and they had to go in the desert for 40 years. Maybe Joshua said, not today. You know what today? Just shut up and march. Excuse my language. But sometimes you just need to shut up and you need to march. Sometimes you need to keep your big negative mouth shut and you just need to keep on marching. God said to go forward. I'm going to go forward. It looks bad today. I'm going to keep going forward. It looks worse today. I'm going to step forward. Sometimes the best advice you could take, I'm just going to shut my mouth and I'm going to walk. What they say, even a fish won't get caught if he keeps his mouth shut. Sometimes, man, we just got to shut up and march. Even a fish won't get caught if he keeps his mouth shut. That's free. That's not even in my notes. Man, I'm sure at some point they were tempted to stop short. What gets me is that Joshua never told them how long they do this. God told Joshua, but Joshua, he never told them. Could you imagine, like, yo, the last time this happened, we were in the desert for 40 years. How long we got to march around the city? This is silly. This is ridiculous. They never knew how long it was going to take. And in life, we don't often get to see our progress. We don't often get to see our progress isn't always obvious. Well, I've been reading my Bible every day for a month. Nothing has changed. Well, you know, I've been giving to church for a year. I'm still in financial debt. Well, I've been praying for my parents, and I think they've gotten worse. I've been staying pure for my future spouse, and it's like slim pickings out here, you know? They're all getting captured, and it's getting worse. Wouldn't it be great if you saw your progress immediately? Like, wouldn't it be great if you ate some steamed broccoli and you lost some weight? I mean, come on. Wouldn't it be awesome? Someone brings donuts to the office and you say, no, thank you. Oh, my pants got looser. Awesome. You know, I do a couple curls. My arm gets bigger. I do a sit up and oh, I got abs, right? Wouldn't it be great if we saw our progress immediately? But progress isn't always obvious. And because of that, we get discouraged and we often stop short. Don't stop short. Don't stop short. You need to persevere. You need it. Why do we stop short? Our perspectives get blocked. Progress isn't always obvious. And number three, the process is open-ended. Number three, the process is open-ended. What do I mean by that? Let me explain it like this. In football, when I was playing college football, I hurt my back. I got two herniated discs, and it was all right for a time, but it started to get worse, and it got so bad, this nerve pain in my back. Some days, for days, I'd just be laying on my floor. My son would be, like, crawling on my chest. I couldn't even play with him. And so I was like, I got to do something. I got to fix this. And so I went to physical therapist, and I'm like, listen, man, I want to play basketball. I don't want to be pain-free. I want to play basketball. And he's like, all right, if you want to play sports with your back, you got to work out hard. It's a grind. Every day, he said, it's a grind. And so I do these exercises. I try to do them every day. They're intense. I'm telling you, they're intense. But I don't do reps. If you're familiar with working out, I don't do like 10 of them. I actually hold them for time. So I do 60 seconds at a time. Now, let me tell you something. You think one minute's nothing. Do something really hard for 1 minute. It's really hard, okay? And these are really hard. And so I do these exercises for 1 minute. And what do? 60 seconds at a time. And I pull up my phone. I put my phone right in front of me. All right. Remember, the process is open-ended. This is what I'm explaining. I put my phone in and I put the timer on. And I'm doing the exercise and all of a sudden I want to quit. I can't do it. I'm going to quit. And what do? I look at my phone. I say, "Oh, 10 seconds. Oh, it's not that hard. I could do 10 seconds." But I tell myself I could do anything for 10 seconds. So 10 seconds I do it, right? And what happens when I know how much time is left? I have enough energy to keep going. My point is, when I could see the clock and I know when it's going to end, it's not that bad. But sometimes the process is a little more open-ended, because it would be nice if God put a big clock on our promises. He said, listen, let me tell you something. 1 more year of tithing, you'll be free. 2 more years of waiting, he'll show up. All you got to do is, okay, I could do 2 years. I could do 6 months if we knew how long it would take. But sometimes we just don't know when the process is going to, how long it's going to take and how much time is left. And it gets a little discouraging. Sometimes we get confused because we think what God wants to do for us is the most important thing. But sometimes it's what God wants to do in you that's the most important thing. And the reason there's a little weight, there's a reason there's a little thing going on, the reason you got to persevere is because God's doing something way better than what you're going to get. Because he's doing something in you that you're developing and growing to do it. That's why you need to persevere. That's why you need to keep marching. That's why you need to keep moving forward. Don't stop short. Don't stop on 6. Don't give up. You need to persevere. You need to. It's a fact of life. What do you need? You need to persevere. What do you want to do? Something a lot easier. But we need to persevere. Without perseverance, you might not receive the promise God has given you. Without perseverance, the good things God has for you, you may never possess them if you stop short. Let me end with this last verse and I'm done. Verse 15 says this. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and they marched around the city seven times in the same manner. In the same manner. And it says on verse 15, it says they marched around the city in 7 days in the same manner, in the same way, except on that day. Except on that day, it was the day God moved. And some of us, we get frustrated because you're going to go home in the same way you came. Some, you're going to go to work in the same, it's going to feel like every other day. It's going to be like same old, thing, same old marriage, same old financial bills, but you just don't know. If you keep on marching, it may feel like the same thing to you, and you just keep on marching, it may feel like the same day to you, but except on that day. And I got to keep marching until I get to my day. I got to keep marching until it's my turn. I got to keep going until it's except on that day. Everything felt the same to me. I can remember times in my life where I was desperate, and it was a normal car ride home, and it was at that I can remember the moment God spoke to me, and it gave me the strength to keep going. I can remember the moment I was struggling, the moment I was having a hard time, and it was the same old, but I just didn't quit, and something happened. I remember being on my knees praying to God, and that was the moment God did something. And I'm telling you, you need to persevere, even if it looks like the same old, because on the seventh day, on the seventh lap, they did the same thing they'd been doing, except on that day. Let me just pray for you. Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word. That it's not always easy for us to hear it. That it's not always what we want to hear. But Lord, you tell us what we need to do. And Lord, I just pray right now, whosever perspective is blocked, Lord, you just raise them up. Give them a glimpse of what you see, God. Give them a glimpse of the potential you have for them, God. Lord, stop letting their failures, their setbacks, the pain of the past prevent them from moving forward. Lord, I just pray you speak encouragement now to people who feel like quitting. Lord, that we would just learn to shut up and march. Lord, that on one day we will possess, we will receive if we persevere. Lord, I pray for the strength to persevere right now. Lord, I just speak strength into people. I speak courage into people. I just rebuke negativity. I rebuke past hurts. I rebuke all these walls. I rebuke all this stuff. Now, it's happening. You just keep doing what God says. And I'm telling you right now, God is working something in you. You may not be able to see the progress today, but on that day, you will. Lord, I just pray your hand upon each person here. I pray your hand upon the city church, your hand upon Pastor Marty, upon Pastor Ryan, upon Aaron, upon everybody volunteers, Lord, upon this church, that they would continue to persevere to reach Batavia for Christ, that they would continue even in the midst of tragedy, even in the midst of death, even in the midst of depression, Lord, that they would reach more people, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, that they will continue to march and continue to go where you've called them to go, to love who you've called them to love, and Lord, they will see many come to Christ and many lives changed. I can't wait to come here and say, except on that day, God did something great. I can't wait to see that day in the city church. To see that day in each individual's life, that we won't quit until God gives us those promises. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for letting me share this evening. God bless you guys.